Hello and welcome to the Rush Hour for Monday, the 18th of July. Thousands of malnourished women and children are arriving daily in the overcrowded Dadaab refugee camp in northern Kenya, reports the Diocese of Parramatta this morning. They highlight the plight of 11 million people in the Horn of Africa caught in the grip of the worst drought in 60 years. Rain is not expected until October. According to Catholic Mission National Director Martin Teolan, warring armies in Somalia are exacerbating an already dire situation. Mr. Teolan said correspondence has been received from Catholic Mission's director in Ethiopia, Father Angelo Antolini, asking the Australian Church for prayers to bring aid to the millions who are drought-affected in the Horn of Africa. In his Sunday Angelus address yesterday, Pope Benedict said he is following the news from the Horn of Africa with deep concern. I hope international mobilisation grows to send timely relief to our brothers and sisters already sorely tried, among which there are so many children, he said. May our solidarity and the concrete support to all people of good not fail these suffering people. The Pontifical Council Cor Unum is sending $70,000 to drought-stricken Somalia as a sign of the Pope's concern and solidarity. A Sudanese bishop died on Saturday morning, 8 a.m. local time, after becoming ill while celebrating Mass. Monsignor Cesar Matsalari, the Bishop of Rumbek in South Sudan, was concelebrating a Mass when, at the beginning of the consecration, he fell on a chair without any strength, bringing a hand to his chest. With the help of some priests, nuns and faithful attending the Mass, he was taken to the sacristy and then eventually to hospital, where he died shortly after. Monsignor Matsalari was born in Brescia, Italy, in 1937. He entered the Comboni Missionaries and was ordained a priest on the 17th of March, 1962. After a first missionary experience in the United States among African Americans and Mexicans, in 1981 he arrived in Sudan. He was ordained a bishop on the 6th of January, 1999, by Pope John Paul II. On the 9th of July this year, he attended the celebrations for the independence of South Sudan. Bishops are prohibiting youth from four dioceses in Burma from participating in World Youth Day in Spain this August in response to a situation in 2008 where youth defected to Australia when they attended World Youth Day here. The ban applies to four of Burma's 16 dioceses, according to UCA News. The agency reported that five young people from the dioceses of Hakka, Calais and Bunmore failed to return from Australia, while another from the Miat Kiena diocese initially claimed asylum but later changed his mind and returned to Burma. Father Gerald Fauquois, youth director of the National Catholic Youth Commission, said, "I hope these delegates affected can understand our decision." He stated that the reputation of the church is at stake. He also added that youth attending from Burma must be active with their faith and ready to work for the church, prepared to promote the church's development by putting their experiences at international events to good use. The group that represents Ireland's Catholic priests says the secrecy of confession must be protected, despite government indications that confessions would not be exempt from rules on mandatory reporting of child abuse. Father P.J. Madden, spokesman for the Association of Catholic Priests, insisted that the sacramental seal of confession is above and beyond all else and should not be broken even if a penitent confesses to a crime. Father Madden said he would strongly urge and appeal to the penitent, whether a priest or anyone else, to confess a crime to the police and have the civil aspects dealt with, but he did not approve of the idea of reporting what was said. The seal of confession is a very sacred seal for lots of different reasons, way beyond this one single issue, however serious this one single issue is, Father Madden insisted. The Irish government said it would introduce legislation that makes it mandatory for priests to reveal the details of child abuse, even if they become known in the confessional. The offence is punishable with up to 5 years in prison. The announcement came after a judicial commission investigating the Diocese of Cloyne revealed on the 13th of July that allegations of abuse were being mishandled and withheld from the police as recently as 2008. The Pope will visit Africa this November. With more details, here's Rome Reports.
The Pope is getting ready for his upcoming trip to Benin, which will mark his second trip to Africa. According to organizers, the Pope will arrive on November 18th and will leave on the 20th. It will be a short trip, but also very symbolic.
The Pope is going to Benin for the whole of Africa. He's not just going to Benin for Benin. He's going to Benin for the benefits of the whole of Africa. So my answer to your question is the Pope is going both to Benin and to the whole of Africa.
During his meeting with bishops, the Pope will sign an apostolic exhortation. It's a document where all Catholics of the continent are called to engage in reconciliation while also promoting justice and peace. The text was done after African bishops met back in October of 2009.
Deeply down, Africa needs, I would say, more reconciliation than even, let me say, food and water. Because we do have potentially food. We have a lot of water potentially, but we don't have the conditions, the environment that we need to create in order to enjoy it.
The Pope's trip coincides with the 150th anniversary of Christianity in Benin. In his trip, he'll also honor Cardinal Bernardine Ganton, who died 3 years ago in his native country of Benin. That cardinal was the only person appointed to a high-ranking post by John Paul I. He was president of the Pontifical Council Coronum and the Congregation of Bishops. He was also dean of the College of Cardinals from 1993 to 2002. At the age of 80, he returned to his home country, where he died in 2008.
And finally, here's a bit of fun for you. This story comes once again from Rome Reports.
The Pope gives hundreds of public speeches every year. But imagine if any one of us could be his ghostwriter. What would we write about and how would we word it? Well, it may be just for fun, but a contest called Ghostwriter for the Pope is in full swing. It was launched by the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, and the assignment is simple. It focuses on what the Pope should say in his upcoming trip to Berlin when he addresses Germany's parliament. Only serious entries that reflect the Pope's theology will be considered. And even though the Holy Father won't actually read the winning entry, there is a price involved. The winner will be invited to hear the Pope's actual speech on September 22nd. The maximum length is 5 pages and all entries must be in German and submitted by August 26th. The winner will be chosen by the Foundation, Catholic theology professors, journalists from the Vatican's media, and also religious dignitaries. As a starting point, organizers say writers should take a look at the speech the Pope gave last year at London's Westminster Hall to get a better idea of his structure and style. The Pope will be in his native Germany from September 22nd to the 25th.
And just briefly, the World Conference on AIDS began yesterday in Rome. More than 25 million people have died of AIDS since the first identification of cases in 1981. Tomorrow, delegates will visit the first reception for AIDS patients in Italy, founded in 1988. Thanks once again for listening to The Rush Hour. Remember, you can get in touch with me anytime by calling plus 612 8005 1530 or emailing therushhour@cradio.org.au. Have a great day. God bless.